Hi, everybody, and thank you for joining us for the Preceptor Podcast. I'm Sarah.
And I am really excited to be sharing with you a new podcast host that we have here. This is Dr. Sarah Thompson. She recently joined the faculty here at Manchester, and she's going to become one of our new regular co-hosts. So, Sarah, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hi, everyone. I'm Sarah Thompson, and I am the Assistant Director of Experiential Education at Manchester University Pharmacy Programs. Really excited to be here, and thank you for having me as a co-host.
And today we're going to be starting in the first episode of a three-part series. We're going to be talking a little bit about burnout. And with us, we have two experts on this topic. Our first one is Alex Barker. He is the founder of Happy PharmD. And then we also have Jackie Boyle with us. She is the lead coach at Happy PharmD. So just to start us off, Alex, do you want to introduce yourself a little bit more?
Sure. Yeah, so I'm a pharmacist. I graduated about a decade ago, and I started practicing at the height of the profession in AmCare and slowly whittled my way down to being very, very unhappy in my job. And I tried anything and everything to try to escape, even stop being a pharmacist, until I kind of discovered I actually love what we do. It's just not at this place. And over time, that led me to create the Happy PharmD in 2017. And since then, we've helped now over 1,700 pharmacists with their careers, helping them get new jobs that they absolutely love. And with me, I won't do her intro, but I'm really excited that she's in. This is the first time we've ever done a podcast together, so I'm really excited, is my really good friend, Jackie Boyle, who's been with me nearly from the start. So, Jackie, take it away.
Well, thanks, Alex. And yeah, wow, I can't believe we've never done a podcast together. That is kind of shocking to me.
Yeah.
But Sarah, thank you for making it happen. Both Sarahs, thank you for making this happen for us. This is great. So my name is Jackie Boyle. In my day job, I work at Northeast Ohio Medical University as the Assistant Dean of Student Success and Associate Professor. So teach a lot of the same concepts that I work with our clients on in the world of professional development and thinking about their future careers. As I serendipitously got connected with Alex in 2017, I was actually thinking of starting a coaching company myself. And thankfully, my mentor, Tim Ulbrich, if you're listening, thank you for everything you do for me in my life. He connected me to Alex Barker and said, hey, you should really reach out to him and see what he's working on, because I think you have a lot in common. So fast forward several years and we're here now. We work with pharmacists, as mentioned, on a lot of the topics we're going to talk about today. And specifically, this is one of my areas of scholarly interest. Alex and I have collaborated on a few different research projects in this world as well. And I feel like there's a treasure trove of scholarly work to go into this topic for anyone who's listening who's a faculty member. If you want to join us, just let us know.
Well, I'm excited that you guys are here. And we're going to start out our discussion just talking a little bit about stress and burnout. And I mean, everybody experiences stress. It's part of your normal everyday life. Could you first kind of help define what's the difference between stress and burnout? And then how can you tell which one you're experiencing?
Happy to take the lead on that question. I think if you take a step back and acknowledge that stress is actually a good thing, stress keeps us in motion. How do we work out? We put stress on our body to maintain a healthy composure. So while I think a lot of people, they use words like, I'm really stressed out. And that conveys overwhelm. That conveys feeling hopelessness. That's really not stress. The biggest difference between stress and burnout is that stress typically can be healthy in short bursts of time. You have a big project coming up, you have a deadline, you have something happening in your life that is, maybe it does feel a little overwhelming, but you know that there's a finish line. Prolonged stress can lead to a state of burnout. And high levels of stress, you can think of causing anxiety, whereas when you're burned out, you're disengaged from work. And so you're not anxious, you are depressed. You just don't care. or you feel hopeless about a situation, or you perhaps feel, I've been so stressed out for so long that I don't know if there's a finish line other than retirement. And that's maybe decades away for you. Stress is the, you know, it's a common condition for every workplace. Every place has it. You almost have to accept it if you want to have a job in this world. But if the stress feels overwhelming and there's no, I don't know, break point or vacation from it, or if you go on vacation and you are still stressed or you're dreading going back to work, that's actually a good sign to say you are burned out. So stress is good in some amounts, but burnout is bad and it leads to disengagement in the workplace.
Yeah, I'll just piggyback on that a little bit. To reiterate Alex's point, we all need to have some level of stress in our workplaces. Otherwise, we wouldn't have enough work to do. So there's this really interesting image I came across when teaching some of these concepts to my students. There's a tipping point, basically, of when the stress level has become too high and is prolonged for too long of a period of time. That is, as Alex mentioned too, the way that we could lead into burnout. But if folks don't have enough stress placed on them, then they're likely not productive. They don't have enough work going on. And it's finding that balance where you have a healthy work life and you feel engaged, but you're not overwhelmed or unfocused or have an unmanageable workload. So I know another thing that's been talked a lot about in the literature around burnout is that if there's lack of clarity or if there's too much chaos in a workplace, that can also lead to burnout as a factor. Specifically, there's a publication around pharmacy residents and how the undefined nature of some of their learning experiences or what their responsibilities are can really be a huge contributing factor to burnout as well.
And when we have this conversation about burnout, sometimes we hear the term moral injury. Can you explain to us what is moral injury and how does it relate?
This is a newer subject and it's getting a lot of attention in healthcare. A moral injury is simply an act done by yourself or someone else with authority or a position of power, and the outcome is deemed as morally wrong. This kind of has roots in spirituality, and it first became studied by a psychologist who looked at veterans. So people who went to war and saw awful things happen. You know, you think about war, there's casualties of war, not just with warriors, but civilians. And when you see that, deep in your gut, you know that that is wrong. And this causes people to experience moral injury, and it's a psychological condition. And after about 20 years of research on veterans, some people in healthcare quickly picked up on this and thought, wow, this is probably happening to us in the workplace, because particularly with the COVID pandemic, we experience high levels of stress in the workplace, and that leads us to be in situations where we have to make a decision based on, do we help this person who could use my help, or do we need to help this emergency situation with someone else? And that can cause us to feel like I'm not making the best decision for everyone. And it's because of the work environment, right? Unfortunately, there's no perfect healthcare system, even though as Americans, we often are like, oh, Europe, they've got it so nice. Like, they've got problems too, okay? But I don't know why they sounded that way, but they did. And when I think about these conditions, there's going to be consequences for people. Not everyone is going to get the same amount of care. I'm going through it right now with my family. There's been a med error and there's been severe consequences because of it. And it's causing moral injuries both for the healthcare staff, for my family, and everyone's getting hurt in this process. And these moral injuries, why do we care about that from a health perspective? They build up. Like plaque on your teeth can cause a cavity. Moral injuries over time not only can lead to things like burnout, depression, disengagement in the workplace, but it can lead to PTSD. It can lead to suicide. There are severe consequences, and it's not just for the individual pharmacist, but for patients, right? It's well documented that burned out, disengaged pharmacists cause problems for patients. They make med errors, and it's not like that was their fault. It's a condition over time, right? A cavity, you don't have a cavity and think like, maybe I should have flossed every day. Like, yeah, of course you should have. But with things like moral injury or burnout, many of the causes of burnout are well beyond your control. And so if you're listening to us talk about these things and you're thinking to yourself, man, I feel bad. I feel bad that this is happening to me or it's happening to someone I know in the workplace. You have guilt or shame about it. I've been there. I know what it feels like to think patients are problems, not people. And I want you to be able to just accept the idea that it's not necessarily all your fault. Because if you take all of the blame on yourself, it becomes that much harder to try to overcome these problems. The system that you're in is broken. We can try to make it better, but it is not 100% your fault for experiencing these negative outcomes of the workplace.
I really like your analogy of the tooth in the cavity. And it's almost like we are, as pharmacists, being provided like 2/3 of a toothbrush. We don't get the whole toothbrush to try to prevent that from happening. And so if we're not given the tools we need, or maybe it's you're given the tools, but you only get a minute every day instead of the 2 minutes you need to brush your teeth. Like, you're not given, maybe that's a better analogy, you're not given the time, or you're not given everything you need to make this an optimal situation.
Yeah, a part of this discussion, and I go all over the country to speak about burnout in the workplace and engagement, and sometimes I ask the question, who here feels like they're ready to conquer this problem? And very few people raise their hands. And I ask this question to kind of put people at ease and say, it's okay. We don't know what we're doing. The literature has, it's not like diabetes where you're like, oh, insulin. Yeah, of course. That's what they need. They would be much better if they had this hormone in them, right, to help them fix their body. We are not at that stage in the world. We do not understand all of the perfect things that an organization needs to have to never have these things happen. But if we don't ask the questions, if we don't do research on it, if we don't dig into this problem, well, then we'll never figure it out. And so it's okay to not be okay. It's okay that we're trying to figure this out. And you're absolutely right. We don't have the tools. You know, we're trying to figure out how to create a wheel at this point in this problem. And it's going to take time. It's going to be okay. As long as we can, at an individual level, take just some small steps to move forward.
And I think one way that someone might recognize that moral injury is happening, because you may not have heard of this term or maybe aren't aware of what this could feel like, is to think about your own personal values and how that shows up for you in the workplace. Do you feel like you can live out your values in the workplace? Or do you feel like there's some conflict there where your values just aren't matching up with that of the organization or the direction that your team is moving in? So I think that moral injury concept can really come to life when you do some self-reflection and think about the way that you show up and feel in your work environment. And if it's matching up with what you believe is right ethically, morally, and based on your own personal values.
Right. Is this wrong? Yeah. Am I breaking the pharmacist's oath by taking an action? And again, some of this is out of our control, right? Because when we talk to pharmacists about career transitions, a lot of people cite things like, I just don't feel like I can really care for my patients. And you could say, well, that's negligence, right? But is that a function of the individual or is it a function of the organization? What I see, what we see a lot of people go through in this healing process is acknowledging they're a part of the system, but they're not wholly responsible, right? There's things outside of our control that we just cannot change. And we have to accept that rather than bear the weight of that guilt and shame. There is healing. There's a lot of information out there. I would recommend you just type in moral injury TED Talk. There's some great TED Talks on this subject that I highly recommend. I've watched them. I've helped them in my own moral injuries. So,
well, I don't want it to be, you know, doom and gloom. The next two episodes are going to be a lot more about focusing on things. But just to get us through the next 2 weeks, what is one or two things that pharmacists can do right now before we come back from those 2 weeks to discuss solutions?
I'll start with this one because I've been thinking about this a lot lately with talks we've been involved in and just discussions that have come up in the workplace. I think instead of giving pharmacists another thing to do, what I look at is what can you stop doing? And are there things you can actually eliminate from your workload? That, of course, may require a discussion with your supervisor. And I know that those things might not all be solely in your control, but maybe there are things in your control that you can take a hold of and say, you know what, I just can't do this thing anymore. So I'm going to advocate that you look at your to-do list and say, what am I going to stop doing before our next episode?
One of my goals is, I didn't say to stop doing anything, but that I wasn't going to do anything new. So like in my service goal,
hey, that's great.
That I was not taking on anything new.
That's a great start.
I'll tell you one that I use right now. And I just adopted this this week. And it's to always have your next vacation planned, no matter what. And so, because what happens to me, I love the work I do. But occasionally, I do get overstressed. And it hasn't led to burnout yet. But I get to the point where I'm like, I'm not effective right now. Or, man, I'm really, I'm just kind of dragging my feet on stuff. And then I realize, oh, I haven't had a vacation in like 6 months. That's unhealthy. So it's a tactic I learned from actually one of my advisors. And it's always to have something planned so that even when you're done with that vacation, you know when the next one is going to be. So and then I would encourage you further, if you go on vacation and you still feel stressed or burned out, it's time to listen to the next episode of this series because we're going to talk about, we're going to provide some realistic solutions.
I thought of one more. Could I
add
really quick?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Sure, I know we were about to wrap up, but I just heard this podcast this week and I had to throw this one in here too. And it's about saying no. So reframing opportunities and starting with no and being convinced to a yes. So I loved that concept of, someone needs to convince me that this needs to be a yes. And I'm starting with no as the actual first answer. So reversing that concept of saying yes to everything and starting with no, I thought was a great takeaway I heard recently.
Not saying yes and being skeptical. I don't know if my first answer is no yet, but my first answer is skepticism. All right. Well, this has been a great conversation. And we want to thank Jackie and Alex for being here this week and setting us up for our next 2 weeks. I want to thank you all for listening to this episode of the Preceptor Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please like or subscribe. We would love to hear more from you and about content that you would be interested in.